fasten your chin strap and get ready for the snuff. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Welcome in to a Tuesday edition of the Eric Ainge Show, FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Your connection came and went.
Now I was reading too much stuff on my computer, and I forgot to click a button. Hi, I'm Eric. One button. Happens. I had one job.
You had one job.
I had one job. What are you doing, man? How's your day going?
You know, yesterday was a long week with all the news that came out. Like, okay, I knew that the Lady Vols game was going to be postponed. I'd gotten word on that earlier. I keep the scorebook, and I got a little heads up that, hey, we're probably not going to play that. I don't think it's completely off the table that the Lady Vols play multiple games this weekend, but right now they're... So I knew that was going to happen because their opponent canceled their season 3 days before the season started. Okay, so that was crazy. That's fine. We had the Rick Barnes news and the Tennessee basketball shutting down news. So then I go to host Hal's show for 4 hours. I come back. We're not even playing a football game this weekend, and we didn't do anything wrong. It's an incredible. I understand it, but man, what a long week yesterday was.
I mean, I heard that you got to talk about your heroes yesterday, and I just, you know, as Twitter said, you know, as one of them, I'm really I'm honored, Brian.
Yeah, that wasn't really the type of conversation we were having.
He won Twitter though. That was really good. Yeah,
I was talking about hero worship in certain areas not being healthy, and anyway. Yeah,
well, there's a hotline for it for you if you need it.
It's okay. I still wore my Air Gange pajamas last night.
It's all good.
Not really. So much to get to. Let's just go ahead and take a look at the game plan.
No quarterback goes into battle without a game plan. The Eric Ainge Show looks to the sideline to kick off the drive every day with the game plan. The game plan is laid out by 42nd Street. Visit 42SD.com today.
All right, so yesterday, let's go kind of in order here. We get off the air, and about 20 minutes after that, Tennessee basketball announces it's pausing basketball activities. The Tennessee Classic this weekend, or this end of this week, at that time was likely not going to happen. Now it's not going to happen. Rick Barnes has tested positive for COVID-19. And the one thing we're looking forward to most to save us from the negativity that has been Tennessee athletics for the last month and a half is now off indefinitely. That's where we started yesterday. And of course you hope for the health of Rick Barnes as well. We don't know what symptoms he may or may not have. We don't know. That's his business. But certainly hope for the best for him. Then about an hour after that, 2 hours after that, Lady Vols game on Friday. Off because Florida A&M is not going to have a season all of a sudden. Then, yesterday evening, the SEC announces a variety of schedule changes related to the fact that Arkansas has a COVID outbreak. They can't play this weekend to try to ensure that all the SEC teams get to play their full 10 games. Now Vanderbilt's going to play Missouri, who was supposed to play Arkansas. Tennessee's sitting out. They'll now play Vanderbilt on the 12th, the day they were supposed to play Texas A&M, and now Tennessee will play Texas A&M on the 19th. All of that subject to change. Eric, I can't remember a day where my head spun in Tennessee news as much as that.
Yeah, that just sucks. It's just terrible. I hate it for all of the kids that are playing, all the fans that are wrapped up in it like we are. I know that there's, I mean, I don't know. I don't even have good words for it, man. COVID sucks. I wish it was gone. It's ruining everything.
The positive here is one of the reasons why the Tennessee-Vanderbilt game was able to be moved the way it is there's not going to be any fans at it. So you are not inconveniencing or changing the plans of people who were flying in for the game or things like that. That's one of the reasons why they were willing to move it right away. But, I mean, if you're this football program, through no fault of your own, you've done it the right way, other than the fine that you got because people weren't wearing masks. You've done it the right way, and now your game is off because of reasons beyond your control. How do you even handle that this week? I mean,
if you're Dabo, you say, well, they just want that ought to be a forfeit. They didn't want to get their butt kicked, which I'm kind of on his side on. I'm not making light of COVID, but if I were Florida State, I would have taken advantage of some positive tests too.
But I don't think they did.
Did they? See, I don't know that. I know is what Dabo said.
Dabo was completely out of line with what he said.
Well, then what to inform me so I know.
Well, Clemson had a player that tested positive after having been symptomatic at practice earlier in the week. And so based on guidelines, they
broke them.
They didn't necessarily break the letter of the law, spirit of the law. Florida State has more stringent guidelines than what the ACC minimums are, and they said, hey, we would be more comfortable playing later on when we know for sure that your guy that was at practice didn't spread this to half the team and then would spread it to half our team.
That makes sense.
If Florida State was ducking him, Florida State wouldn't be willing to play the 5th or the 12th. But they weren't. The problem was the ACC wouldn't step in and say and make a ruling one way or the other. They left it up to the two schools to try to negotiate something, which is a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah, well, obviously that's not going to work out.
No. So.
COVID sucks. It's ruining everything.
It is. Ryan Callahan of Govalls 24/7 will join us coming up at 10:30. We'll roll out our SEC power rankings again to close out the 10 o'clock hour. Jeremy Pruitt spoke to the media yesterday before all of this on the quarterback situation, where they're going and what his evaluation of both guys was this past weekend. We'll, of course, play Florida, Alabama, or Georgia and try to make some sense of what happened this past weekend in the SEC, taking COVID out of it. And we'll give you that revamped schedule for the next couple of weeks. Tennessee and Florida still on for next week. We do not have a game time for it because the TV networks have elected for a 7 or a 6 day hold on that, so we will not find out what time Tennessee plays Florida until Saturday night or Sunday.
So at least we get 2 weeks.
Yep. Again, you have 2 weeks to prepare for an opponent. Let's see how that goes. And that's the game plan. It's laid out for you every day by 42nd Street.
You got more than 2 weeks if you're looking for some help with your business. You can get that help right now, and it'll help you for a long time. That's a new website. That's new logos, business cards, leave behinds, anything you need. You need more help with your automation. So when people go to your website and you want to make sure you capture their email and you can send them information and try to get them as customers and all those different things and retention models, Mike's the guru at it, 42SD.com.
The Eric Haines Show continues next, FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Welcome back into The Eric Haines Show with Brian Rice.
Well, did you fall off there after introducing me?
Just a second. Yep.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
I have a little bit of technical difficulties, but I know what needs to be done. So it shall be done.
All right. What shall be done for Tennessee this week is they now have an extra off week. Again, if you're obviously you never dealt with anything anywhere close to this, but what do you say to your guys if you're Jeremy Pruitt and the staff right now?
Gosh, remember like during the, I think it was the second, and it might have been the off week before this past game, when you had me do the off week keys. Do you remember that?
Yeah, yep.
One of them was to make football fun again. And I've heard a couple different people say that. I've heard Pruitt say that after that. I'm not saying he got it from me. I'm saying that I'm spot on, that, like, be silly in practice. Do something fun as a team. Get a giant projection screen. You already got one, you know, and socially distance and let the guys hang out and watch a funny movie. 2 weeks for a game. 2 weeks for a game. 2 weeks for a game. That's exhausting. That's so much practice. That's so much practice. You know, I remember times both in college and in the pros being a part of teams where the last thing on earth you want is a bye week. You're relatively healthy and you're rolling. Mm-hmm. You know, and you don't need a week of practice to get ready. You just need to go keep the routine, you know, boom, 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 boom. This team's routine now is play a game, get embarrassed, practice for 2 weeks, play a game, get embarrassed, practice for 2 weeks. Now they have to play Florida. Like, you know, there's some people that, you know, teams are getting games canceled and moved last second and they can't play. I would argue that what Tennessee's going through right now might be as bad or worse than anything from a player standpoint.
Yeah. You don't have that chance to get out there, pick yourself up off the mat, and go try to prove it again.
Yeah, because in a one-week turnaround like the, you know, the normal football season, and you've heard me say this a million times, by the time you get to Tuesday media avails and you're the starting quarterback and you're going out there, I used to have to take notes sometimes and, like, write things down because I was like, oh, yeah, they're going to ask me a million questions about what already happened, and I'm 48 hours moved on from that.
Yeah.
And if you're not living like that, then you don't probably have a chance to win games down the stretch. This team did it last year. I mean, look at what they did when they were just rolling towards the end of the year last year. Win, 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 win. Unfortunately for them, they the status quo right now is practice for 2 weeks and lose. Practice for 2 weeks and lose. Practice for 2 weeks and play Florida. We'll see what happens. But, no, he's earning his paycheck right now. That is for sure. This isn't easy.
And from what I understand, and again, I don't know that they can't find a way to do something, but from what I understand, they can't even do the team activity in the facility because they're not allowed to do anything in the facility other than practice and scheduled game stuff because of COVID. You can't get the team together for funtivities because they're not allowed to do that right this year, which makes that team building part of it a lot harder.
Yeah. I mean, you got to involve it in practice some, you know, like, they still feed the guys. So wide receiver, DB, one-on-ones, O-line, D-line, one-on-ones, do something like that. Get them playing and competing and keep track of who wins each drill, and feed the offense gets to have steak and the defense gets beanie weenies or something that's, you know, give them baked beans only or something like that. I don't know. That would be a fun thing that would get the guys, you know, steak dinner. Yeah. You don't need to cater it from Roost Chris. You can cook it in bulk. They're football players. They'll eat it.
Yeah, that's true.
Something like that, man. Just make football fun again, because right now football can't be fun for these guys. It just can't. I mean, let's be honest. They're all, you know, on social media and with media questions, it's just very negative. Everyone's talking about their coach getting fired. You know, they're coming off a 8-game winning streak when things seem to be headed in the right direction to playing every 2 weeks and getting lit up. So, oh, to some people, 30-17 may not be lit up, but it was third. I mean, it was more than that. We got a semi-garbage time touchdown. Auburn beat us to what I would call an embarrassing extent. The long touchdown, the 17-point turnaround in that pick six. I don't know, man. They need to do something to make it fun.
They definitely, in my mind, needed to play Vanderbilt this Saturday and get right.
That would have been best case scenario, man. Give Bailey a week. Let him go throw some touchdown. Now, here's the other thing, though. The line was set at 10 for a reason. I am not like, I don't know where some people, I shouldn't say like some. It is not just a guarantee that Tennessee is going to beat Vanderbilt. Because if we play like we have in weeks past, we're going to play really good for most of the game. And maybe that does get us a big enough lead that you can throw pick sixes and fumble, return touchdowns, and leave guys wide open running down the field. Maybe you could put enough up on if your 90% of your plays are well-executed plays. But you can't spot anybody points in this conference and win. It does not work like that.
Yeah. Kentucky built a big lead against Vanderbilt and then saw it evaporate, though it was there wasn't enough time left for them to really complete a comeback. It made it a what should have been a 17-point game into what about a 3 or 4 point game. So, you know, I agree it wasn't a guarantee, but I think you had an opportunity to go out there and play the way you have the last couple of weeks and try to sustain it. And now you don't have that, and now you. The next time you take the field is against a Florida team that's competing for a chance to be in the college football playoff. They're trying to prove that they belong, and they're trying to prove that with a win over Alabama, they should be in the playoff.
And Dan Mullen is trying to prove all of that while simultaneously trying to prove that picking Tennessee over Florida, if you're a recruit, is a mistake. And you know he would try to score 60 on us if he could.
Yeah.
I would if I were him. I mean, no different than if you're Pruitt and we had the team that was rolling. You'd try to light them up for all you possibly could so you could call your Terrence Marshalls and all those, got your Dylan Brooks of the world and say, guys, come on. You don't even know if he's going to be there. Look where we're at. I mean, that's the what you do on the field is the best recruiting pitch, period. So, if nothing else, I really hope that we show up and show out against Florida, just for that reason alone.
All right, welcome back. 656-9900 if you want to join us here on the Eric Haynes Show when we return. We take a look around the SEC, what happened this past weekend, and now what is going to happen this weekend with some of the changes in the schedule for Thanksgiving rivalry weekend. That's next as the Eric Haynes Show continues on the Sports Animal.
Welcome back into the Eric Haynes Show on the Sports Animal, 865-656-9900.
All right, there's some shuffles in the SEC for this weekend. Obviously, Tennessee and Vanderbilt not playing. Vanderbilt will now go to Missouri instead. The Arkansas-Missouri game was postponed due to a combination of positive tests, contact tracing, and quarantining within the Arkansas program. So Vanderbilt, Missouri was supposed to be on October 17th. Then it was moved to December 12th. Now it's back on this weekend. Tennessee will likely play Vanderbilt on December 12th and then Texas A&M on December 19th. That part of it has yet to be officially announced. But it's going to be a different schedule this weekend. This past weekend in the SEC was a very interesting slate beyond what happened with Tennessee, as going on at the same time was Mississippi State and Georgia. Georgia looked kind of completely disinterested for most of the game, and Mississippi State almost came up and beat them despite having fewer than the required number of scholarship players available for the game.
JT Daniels looked all right.
28 of 38, 401 yards, 4 touchdowns. Not bad.
Not bad at all. And, you know, if you're a Georgia fan, you're going probably the same thing. So if Bailey goes out there and just plays great, mm-hmm. forget stats, but let's just say he goes out there and plays really well. Tennessee fans are going to go, duh, where has that been?
Yeah.
Just like Georgia fans have been saying, you know, to Kirby Smart, they'll be going, whoa. Why did we ever have Stetson Bennett? He never looked that good. Coaches put so much emphasis on practice. It took Josh Dobbs 2 full years, and he got to play in both of those years before he ever became the full-time starter. because of, you know, and everyone wanted to just blame Butch. Well, Pruitt's doing it too. Kirby Smart's doing it too. It happens everywhere. It's really hard. Look at what Nick Saban did. Jalen Hurts was a really good player, so don't get me wrong. But he had Tua, the number 5 overall pick in the draft.
Would have been number 1 without the injury.
Yeah, or 2 at the worst.
Yeah, Burrow, yeah.
But he didn't really play him at all until the national championship game. Like, it's like a comfort zone. If you think you know what you're going to get from somebody, you can build a game plan around that, even if it's not as good as someone else maybe on the roster. I mean, Peyton Manning didn't start the first game of his career.
No.
He didn't start
until midseason. The first start was against, either Mississippi State or Washington State. At Mississippi State.
My point is, it's hard for college football coaches to pull the trigger and put someone in there that they think has a high ceiling but hasn't shown it consistently yet in practice. But for those players, some of them, the lights come on and they get better. And some of them, the lights come on and they get worse. I don't necessarily fault them for doing that, but a lot of them played. You know, Kirby Smart played. He should remember the difference in, like, how was JT Daniels the third guy they put in?
Well, and that's the question is, now he wasn't fully cleared for contact until late in camp, but quarterbacks don't do a lot of contact anyway.
You don't ever get touched.
So that was a little different. I think, and I said this yesterday, we don't know how good those guys looked, and I wish we had an idea with Harrison Bailey and some of the other guys, because I think there are two lines of thinking that coaches, particularly coaches who have been places that they've only been successful, think. One of them is you have to be so good that you take a guy's job away from him in practice. You know, Harrison Bailey has to not just show that he has some ability, but he has to show that he's better than Jared Guarantano. I don't know. I'm not going to argue that that's the right thing, but I think coaches that have been around only successful programs treat it that way. You know, Tua is a great example. Tua was great in practice. Was he great enough to take it away automatically from Jalen Hurts? No. So he wasn't going to get in the game. And I think coaches that have only been around successful programs, and Pruitt has only been around successful programs until he came and inherited this job, or took over this job at Tennessee, I think it's harder for them to put in guys who aren't clearly better in practice. Now, the other side of it is, if you get past that, you still have to be a guy who shows some ability to do it in practice. I don't believe at this level there are gamers to the extent of you look bad in practice and look good in games. I think there are a lot of guys that look as good or better in games than they do in practice. You mentioned if the lights come on, they step up. But there aren't guys that show no ability to do it in practice, constantly throwing to the other team, and then suddenly the light comes on and they don't throw it to the other team. So I think there are two factors there that you have to consider. I wonder where JT Daniels was on that, because we knew what he did at USC, and so I tend to think it's the former and not the latter. I think he showed some ability, but, well, he wasn't good enough to take it from Stetson Bennett. Once Stetson Bennett got hurt, I don't understand how he was third behind DeJuan Mathis, other than you just want to keep DeJuan Mathis from transferring.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's, again, I'm like you. I'm not blaming any of the coaches for doing it. I think it kind of makes sense. But don't you think Bailey, in his two games he's played in now, has shown
he's at least poised yeah,
and can make some throws? And yeah, that's what I'm at. I'm like, okay, if you go out there and you just pee down the side of your leg, then you're done. If you go out there and it's just kind of meh and a little erratic, that's kind of Maurer-ish.
Yeah.
That's one thing. But I think that Bailey has shown a lot of poise. The situation has not been too big for him either time he's gone in the game.
Right.
So that would be all I needed as a coach.
What we don't know, and it's because we haven't had a type to see it, we don't know if he was as ready 6 weeks ago as he is today.
Oh, I'd almost guarantee he wasn't.
Exactly. And that's what you also, I mean, if you're Georgia looking at JT Daniels, because he looked that good this past week does not mean he would have looked that good if you started the season with it. And that's the other thing. When guys come on later in the season, we automatically assume, well, if they had just done that from the start, we'd be in a better spot. And I don't know that that's the case in either situation that we're talking about here.
Yeah, I don't know that either quarterback would look like they did if they just threw him out there when they were still learning how to call the plays and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. Elsewhere around the SEC, Alabama 63, Kentucky 3.
Ew. They treated Tucky like old Tucky.
They led 28-3 at the half and put up 21 points in the third quarter and 14 points in the fourth quarter.
Nick Saban's making sure that they're the fourth team in. If for some reason Florida beats them in the SEC championship, he's going to make sure he's the fourth team in the playoff.
Absolutely. Florida 38, Vanderbilt 17. That game was closer than it should have been for a long time. Florida pulled away in the second half, but at one point, Vanderbilt led that game 10-7 coming out of the first quarter.
Can you imagine, Brian, if Bama loses to Florida, gets in at number 4, and they'll beat Notre Dame by 30?
If Notre Dame's number 1.
If they're number 1. I think they'd run Ohio State, too. It's going to be interesting. All that stuff's coming out.
Notre Dame would have to beat Clemson again to be number 1. I look at that game that Notre Dame and Clemson played, and I think they could do it again. I'm not going to pick them. I mean, if they were playing tomorrow, I'd pick Clemson. I'd pick them to win a close game. But it's not outside the realm of possibility that Notre Dame beats them again, because though you didn't have your starting quarterback, the problems that they had were not – they didn't lose because they didn't have Trevor Lawrence. They got more than adequate quarterback play. But, yeah, I think Alabama would still beat them by 30 if they played. I think Alabama is just that much better. I mean, look at where Texas A&M is, and look at how bad Alabama beat them.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see Florida and Alabama in the SEC championship game. I hope that the game we play isn't at the same time as that one, because that's going to be a fun game to watch. Elsewhere in the SEC, LSU beat Arkansas 27-24, stopped their bleeding for just a minute. And Missouri 17, South Carolina 10 in a game that was fairly painful to watch, even if you had it on a second screen. That's what happened around the SEC this past weekend. More of the Eric Haines Show is coming up next. 656-9900 if you want to join us as we talk Tennessee's postponement. Tennessee hoops coming up in a little bit as well on the Eric Haines Show. Welcome back into the Eric Haines Show, FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. What a week yesterday was. See what today has in store. 656-9900 if you want to join us here on the Eric Haines Show. Jacob is up first. Jacob, welcome into the Eric Haines Show.
Hey, guys. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
I was wanting to get your take on Jim Chaney and the way he calls plays. If you look at the way he called plays during his first stint at Tennessee and the way he called them at Georgia when he had Georgia rolling versus now, do you think there's a difference? Do you think he's less dynamic now in the way he calls his offensive plays?
I think he has a different look on what he trusts guys to run. I think when he was here – and Tyler Bray was his quarterback, he called plays very differently than he did when Tyler Bray was hurt or when Matt Sims was the starter or if they were otherwise handicapped. I think when he had a guy whose best quality was throwing down the field and he had an offensive line that could protect it, then that's what he did. I think if he had the confidence that Jared Garantano could make all the throws and that the line could protect long enough for him to step up in the pocket and make them, he would call the game differently than he does. But I think he is limited with the confidence that he and Jeremy Pruitt have in their quarterback. And as I said on Twitter on Saturday night during the game, if you don't trust your quarterback in certain major situations, like a two-minute drill before the half, then why is he your guy? Why are you standing by him as your guy? I would need for him to be significantly better than the other guys to continue that, if that is the case, that it's a trust factor.
Do you think that it may be the offensive line and their lack of being able to protect the quarterback is why they don't want to trot Harrison Bailey out there as the new starter? They don't want to crush his confidence, and maybe they want to save him for next year and his career?
I think that would have been the case 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, when the offensive line wasn't playing as well as they are now. I don't think it's – you're not getting an effort out of them right now that is what you expected still, but it's better. I don't think the offensive line right now is what's holding them back from going to Harrison Bailey. I just think – I think they look at it as – one of the reasons why you have so much success running the football is because Jared Garantano gets you in the right play and the right protection at the line. And they don't believe like they would have that same success with Harrison Bailey in there. I don't know that that's a reason to not play him, but I think that that is part of their decision-making in not playing him.
Hey, before I hop off here, the basketball team, the men, they're still scheduled to play Gonzaga, right?
They're still scheduled to play Gonzaga at this point. It has not been canceled yet.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. We appreciate it. And Tennessee is also scheduled to play Notre Dame coming out of that Champions Classic next week. Though Tennessee has not officially announced that game, Notre Dame has. We'll see if both of those games are still on coming out of this. I think what happens over the next few days will determine that. Tennessee was supposed to be retested yesterday with results likely coming today. I think we'll have some more clarity on what Tennessee's timeline is today or tomorrow on when they can return to the court and when they can resume team activities. It's not what anybody wanted. And as we mentioned, the Lady Vols were supposed to open up on Friday. Now they will open up on Saturday as of right now because their opponent on Friday, Florida A&M, coached by former Lady Vol Shalon Pillow, has opted out of their entire season. So, Eric, Jacob's question on Chaney's play calling being different now than the first time here, is that based on personnel or is that based on changes in his philosophy, you think? I said more personnel.
I don't think his philosophy last year was all that different when he had – I mean, look what they did against Missouri. He had three receivers for over 100 yards and a quarterback that threw for 400. You know, like I look back at last year and I think, oh, that's what he was – what he was trying to do. I think this year it's been a lot more run heavy, which we've ran the ball pretty decent most of the time. It seems to, here's something that I saw a lot of last time Chaney was here. They threw a ton of tunnel screens. They got really creative with who they put the, how they got the ball in people's hands. And it seems like now whenever we want to take a shot, we just throw a deep ball. And I'm sorry, but those are not super high percentage. They are maybe if you have Marquez Callaway, Juwan Jennings, and Josh Palmer, and Palmer's getting the scraps left over to guard him. That's you know, maybe. But I just thought they were a lot more creative in how they used their personnel the first time they were here. Even last year when we couldn't run the ball well and the two outside guys were getting double-teamed every play and teams were playing cover two, we found a way to get the ball to Juwan Jennings still, but a lot of that was his ability to just not be covered. And even when he was, he wasn't. We don't have a guy like that. Brandon Johnson is not Juwan Jennings. You know, Velus shows signs, you know, at times that he can be pretty electrifying, but...
he's not Juwan Jennings.
No, when Chaney was here the first time, he had Dayrick Rogers, who I think was better than Justin Hunter or Cordarrelle Patterson in college.
Absolutely.
And then when you didn't have him, you still had Justin Hunter and CP. And your worst receiver was Zach Rogers. Zach Rogers would have more targets than anyone on this team right now. It'd be close.
I don't disagree.
Yeah. No, so I don't necessarily think it's different for him. He's just trying to use his strengths. And I mean, he had a running back who had 22 averaged 8 yards a carry against Auburn. Mm-hmm. They need to find ways to take shots better than throwing fades or a skinny post that gets picked off. they need to do some of the other stuff to throw the ball down the field, attack the intermediate part of the field more often. Those were always my favorite throws. I didn't hate deep balls, but I wasn't a huge just deep ball guy. I liked that what we call two throw, where you're driving the ball down the field on a deep over route or a sail route or something, and you can cock it back and fire it, and you know what the coverage is, and it's just so simple. I understand his frustration, but I think a lot of it, to your point, Brian, is just personnel.
And that's something that's not easily overcome, which I think makes it frustrating for all of us. You know,
probably Chaney himself.
Yeah, probably so.
He needs to be better. I'm not saying that I'm not cutting him off.
No, he's not blameless. No,
he's not.
But it is, I think they're challenged, and I go back to it. If you have guys that are playing that cause you to be limited, then are they really your best option? You know, you talk about best option. We hear that phrase a ton, not just at quarterback, but at other positions. I would say that if you have a running back who's running for nearly 200 yards, you should have won the football game, and you should have found a way to have everybody else be good enough to do that. Anyway, that's just kind of my thought on that. We'll come back. A second hour of the Eric Haines Show's next. Jeremy Pruitt talked about his quarterback's play yesterday in his weekly media conference. We'll give you some of his comments. More on Tennessee basketball going on the shelf for the time being. And Ryan Callahan of GoVols 24/7 will join us coming up at 10:30 for his weekly visit. Looking forward to that. It's a Tuesday edition. Yes, it's only Tuesday after a long Monday on the Eric Haines Show.